Well, good evening. It's great to be here. I'm going to read a little story of a gentleman, a true story of a gentleman in the 1800s, a gentleman by the name of Sir Robert Anderson. He was a member of the Scotland Yard, and he was a detective. And one morning as he was walking through the park, I'll just read the story as it's written in one of his books. As I crossed Hyde Park on my way to Whitewall one morning some years ago, I was startled by a pistol shot nearby. As I turned, I saw a man roll off one of the seats upon the ground. The poor wretch had shot himself. I ran across the grass to where he lay and plied him with questions. He was past speech, but I saw by his look that he was conscious and understood my words. His life was ebbing, and if a message was to reach him, it must be brief and quick-spoken. And as in that solemn moment, I lifted my heart for guidance, the words that came to my lips were these, and I repeated them to the dying man. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Fitting words for a dying man who was about to take or try to take his life. This man shared this picture of Christ, or this foreshadowing of the prophet Isaiah as he spoke to the nation of Israel, foreshadowing 600 and some 80 years before the Lord Jesus ever was born. He was telling these people that there was a Messiah coming, and he was going to bear their iniquities. They thought that in some way that he was going to just sympathize with them. But we're thankful for that word. But he was wounded. I can't afford this morning or this evening to steer you in the wrong path when it's concerning the gospel. I was thinking a little earlier as I was contemplating this message. I've seen Tim and Kathy there. Many of you met Tim and Kathy. And they have a training program to reach people that have never heard the gospel. Intense training program. Years, really, before they can actually send someone to the field. Why is that? Because they cannot afford to make a mistake. Lives are in the balance. If they were to go to these people, these people that have never heard anything about God, about the Lord Jesus, about the sacrifice, if they were to steer them in the direction as everything is okay, you just need to listen and hear about this and not turn or understand the reality of sins forgiven, then it would be all for nothing. I can't afford to be wrong this evening. You can't afford to misinterpret what I'm saying. That's why it's very important to use the Word of God. Your response this evening must be based on a clear understanding of what the gospel message is. We both need to be right. We both must be right. Before I get into my message, I want to tell you where my heart is this evening. To be a Christian is not something that you just try out. To be a Christian is not something that you just try out. What do I mean by this? To become a Christian the truth of God, through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, has to transform you from a sinner separated from God to a child of God. That has to happen. If I put a title on this message, it would be The Transformed Life. A transformed life. A changed life. Meaning that something had to have happened in your life's experience through circumstances of life. The gospel was made known unto you. It's your story. I have my story. You have your story. It's personal. It's not something you try out. It's transforming. It changes who you are. Mind you, when a person becomes born again or saved, it doesn't mean that we don't sin. I pray with a brother regularly. We struggle with the same things. We still sin. Thank God that my sin is under the blood. And I know I'm using words that maybe don't make sense to you. Maybe you're on live here this evening and you don't understand what I mean by that. And I hope by the end of this message, it'll become very clear to you what the gospel message. So that's on my heart. Secondly, in order for you to receive the good news, God requires something from you. God requires something from you. I'm not saying that you need to be a better person, but He does require something from you. And it's called repentance. The Bible calls it repentance. It's a change of mind. Without that, you have no salvation. If your life has no change, I doubt you're a Christian. If you have not had a transformed life experience, then chances are you are not on your way to heaven. If you claim to be a Christian and you have no desire for spiritual things, you have no change in your life, you have continued on the same path as you always were, maybe even a churchgoer, but nothing has changed in your attitude. You have no love for the Lord Jesus. You have no love for His saints. You have no love for the Word of God. You don't read the Bible. In this country that we live in, the Bible is so accessible. If you have no desire for any of those things, chances are you are not a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we all know the verse, very, very familiar to us. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And I would ask you this evening, is that your life experience? Has there been a personal time frame in your life when you were changed from on your way to destruction and on the way to eternal life in heaven with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? That's my introduction. Wow, you say, he's going to be harsh tonight. He's questioning my salvation already, and he hasn't even got started. I make no apologies for what I've said, because you need to be 150% sure. God is not in the business of doubt. Satan is. I'm not saying that you may have doubts in the time frame of your experience. But you need to know for sure that Jesus Christ is your only hope for salvation. God is not in the business of doubt. Satan is. The Lord Jesus said this, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." So here we have the two verses that I want to focus in on this evening. Isaiah chapter 53, 4 through 6. Let's just turn there. If you have a Bible, I'll get you to turn there. We'll just read those three verses once again. Says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." This was spoken, as I had mentioned, 700 years before the Lord Jesus ever came as a baby in a manger. It was spoken to the nation of Israel. They were looking for a Messiah. They had thought that he would be someone that would console them. But the passage is very clear. It says he was wounded for their transgressions, he was bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of their peace was upon him, and with his stripes they would be healed. So what are we speaking about this evening? If you're not familiar with the gospel, which is the good news, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 4, it spells it out very clearly. Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he was seen of many. How is that good news, you might ask? Well, it's good news because you're lost. If you're not lost, the Lord Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. So if you can put this message into, you've often heard it, the three R's: man's ruin, God's remedy, and your responsibility. Your response to the message that's given this evening. If you notice in our verses, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." All these things refer, they're personal pronouns. The Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, made a payment for your sin and mine. It's crucially important to remember that he had no sin of his own. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. It goes on to say that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to us. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is the way, or is the way of death. What way are you on? Really, it kind of depicts a path, doesn't it? A way, a path, a direction. What direction are you on? Could it be possible that you filled the pew at the Charlottetown Bible Chapel your entire life? You grew up in a Christian family. You made a profession as a child. but there's no change. Is that possible? I think it's possible. It's your own way. Your way might be attending here. I want to tell you, attending the Charlottetown Bible Chapel will not save you. Being in a Christian fellowship will not save you personally. It will not do anything. You might have us all duped, but God knows His own. Have you personally experienced God's salvation? You might think I'm harsh. You might think that I'm doubting, the doubting preacher. He thinks everyone's not saved. I don't think that way. But I believe there's people in our midst that have made some kind of profession and had no change. It was the way they seemed, it was a way that they thought was right. You know what? Everyone else is going that way. I think I'll just mold myself in. I'll be part of this group. It's easy to be part of this group. You know that? In this country, it's easy to attend this church. It's easy to be part of Club 316. It's even easy to say a little word at the breaking of bread. God knows His own. I trust you know Him. Could it be that the way you have chosen is the wrong way? What is the right way? What is the way to be secure and 100% sure of heaven? What is that way? Well, it's narrow. I won't kid around with you. There's only one way. You might say, maybe you're listening here on live stream, you say, you know what? You're pretty narrow-minded. But the Lord Jesus said this. Jesus says, I, singular, Himself, I am the way. I am the truth. And He says, there's no one that comes back to God but through Me. I am the only way. The one that we're speaking about in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is the one we're speaking about. It was prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. All our sins were laid on Him, and He bore judgment so that we could be brought back to God. Maybe the turning point for you sitting here tonight, or you listening on live stream, is realizing that you've been on the wrong path. Maybe tonight is the turning point when you realized, I've gone my own way, and I haven't gone the way of the cross. There's only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got saved, September 10th, 1988, I was brought up in a Christian home. Many here assumed I was on my way to heaven. Everyone assumed I was. I was a good Christian boy. I attended Sunday school. I went to youth group. I was saved, as far as the masses were concerned. But I had never experienced God's salvation. I was not born again. I was not changed. And I became troubled because I knew in my heart of hearts I was not saved, even though everyone thought I was. I was not saved. And it wasn't these verses, but they were similar verses that were brought home to me. That someone paid a way, paved a way and paid a way so that I could be saved. Someone, and I knew I was a sinner, trust me. If you knew me back then, You would have known I was a sinner. You knew me personally. I had a lot of sin on my account. And I continued, left this place and went on my own. And I moved away. And I continued in sin. But you know what I realized? I realized simply this. Jesus Christ bore my sins. He paid the ultimate price for all my sins so that I could be made right with God. My friend, that is salvation for you this evening. If you could just get to that point and realize your sin, which really is your will, it's just your self-will. It's your rebellion against God's way. The perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, he had no sin of his own. He bore judgment so that you could be brought back into a relationship with God. And he stamped and he says, it's the only way you can get back to God. And I realized that my sins were in the way. The Bible says your sins have separated you from God. Everything about you, your nature to sin, your lean to sin, all the sins that you commit, that is what separates you from God. And Jesus Christ, in his great love, willingly bore your sin. He bore your sin. He took care of your sin. He was judged. The wrath of God was poured out on his son so that you could be set free. And it's the only way to have your sins taken care of. It's the only way. You can't get this wrong. You can't afford to be misguided in this area. You can afford to be misguided in many areas, but in this area, it will cost you an eternity in hell if you get this wrong. Don't get this wrong. If you have never personally experienced the salvation that God has offered through his Son and realize you are a sinner, lost, condemned, deserving of the judgment of God, if you've never experienced those things and realized Jesus died for me, if you've never been transformed, if you've never been changed, if you're in this pew this evening and you've been the same from the day you professed till today and you have no love for the Lord Jesus, you're going through motions, but it's not real. You know what's not real. Then come to God, bankrupt, understanding you have nothing to offer him. Everything you have is cursed by sin. He knows that. You need to know that. And acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's salvation. It's not a feeling, by the way. Now, I remember when I got saved, I was living on a third story of an apartment building, and I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'll tell you, we sang that song, Burdens Were Lifted. I can remember going down those stairs, it felt like there was 3,000 pounds off my shoulders. But I can't base my salvation on that feeling. I based my salvation on the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and he gave himself for me. That's my only hope. You will never be saved unless you've been lost. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I want you to ask yourself this evening, those that are on live stream, have you ever been lost? No hope. and you don't know where to turn. You're troubled by your sin. Then there's hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, that includes you, whosoever believeth or puts their trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a promise. I'm as good as I was in heaven. I feel like I'm in heaven today. It's as sure as that, because I've put my faith and trust in the only hope that I have, Jesus Christ, the Savior of my soul. I want to end this message just by reading two verses in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11, speaking of God the Father in reference to his Son. It said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice of his Son. The Lord Jesus would say the words on the cross, "It is finished." The work to save is done. God the Father judged his only Son for your sins. That's what he did. That fact will never change. And he was pleased with his Son. I want to ask you this evening, are you pleased with the Lord Jesus? Have you been changed? Do you love him? I can say, no glory to me, I love the Lord Jesus. You know why I love him? Because he loves me. And he paid for my sins. I love him. He has changed me. I am far from perfect. Just ask my wife. But I am on my way to heaven. And I rest solely in the fact that Jesus Christ paid for my sins. That's my only rest. That's my only hope. What are you resting in? Please don't say it's your attendance to this place, because that will not get you anywhere. You need to become new, a new creature. My destiny, my path has been changed. I was going down, and now I'm looking forward to going up. I hope you can say with all sincerity, I know him. Whom to know is life eternal. The gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. And it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. He is 100% trustworthy. Ask any Christian if they've ever regretted putting their faith in Jesus Christ. I trust you know him. If you don't, you can know him before you leave the doors this evening. Let's just pray. Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is the lover of souls. He's the lover of sinners. He would say from the cross, "Father, forgive them of all their sin. They don't even know what they're doing. I'll pay. I'll make a way possible. I'll be obedient." In 3 hours on that cross, when darkness veiled planet Earth, you punished him for the sins of the world. And so, Father, the invitation goes out this evening. What will you do with this one called Jesus. Father, I cannot save anyone, but I pray through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, someone will come to know Him, even this evening. We thank Thee for Your Word. We thank Thee for the truth of the Gospel. We're thankful that it's good news. It's great news. It's the best news that could ever enter a person's life. Father, we thank Thee. Bless Your word to hearts this evening. We pray in Jesus' name.